We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Stop right there. I thought it would be fitting for us to end up here, where it all began. Kind of lost his charm a little, huh? The end is near.
In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same
as the beginning.
In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same
as the beginning.
In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same
as the beginning.
In the beginning, the same as the end. the sea is the end.
In the end, the
same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same.
The knives are out, and the GOP as Republicans bicker with each other over who's to blame for their party's dismal performance in this year's midterms after Herschel Walker lost the Senate runoff in Georgia. And many are wondering whether
Georgia
might be the final nail in Donald Trump's political coffin after nearly all of his handpicked candidates were trounced. Attention has been paid to how bad of a candidate Herschel Walker was, given that he spent a lot of time on the campaign trail talking about, among other things, whether werewolves were cooler than vampires. But Republicans very much expected to win, given the state's GOP governor won by 8 points, not to mention that incumbent presidents almost always lose seats in midterms. So now Republicans are pointing fingers at each other and coming up with truly ludicrous reasons why they lost. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, thinks Walker lost because she wasn't asked to campaign for him more.
I was never asked very often by the Herschel Walker campaign to come speak at any of his campaign events. They only asked me to come to maybe two or three in my own district when he was campaigning all over the state running for Senate. But they only asked me a couple of times in my own district, which I find extremely insulting.
It should be noted that at her most pleasant, Marjorie Taylor Greene is this close to extremely insulted. I mean, there are times in life when all of us might want to speak to a manager, but Greene dreams about it. So Greene thinks she should have played a bigger role, while others in the GOP are blaming the entire Republican caucus in the Senate for not showing up in Georgia to campaign for Walker.
Let me just say something respectfully to the 49 Republican senators. Where were most of you? Why weren't you in Georgia? Few of them were, but they all should have been.
Oh, man, I love how literally every single Republican is somehow getting dragged into this mess, even if they had nothing to do with it. Where were you, Jerry Moran? Where were you, Mike Braun? What about you, Ben Sasse? Seriously, you wanted all of them. All 49 Republican senators show up in Georgia. You think that would have made a difference? Can you imagine all of these milquetoast dweebs on stage together? People can't even tell them apart. You really think the missing ingredient in Georgia was a surprise appearance from, I don't know, Wyoming Senator John Barrasso or Idaho Senator Mike Crapo? Then there was Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, who, as we stated before, is a former Democrat who attended Oxford and yet impressively has retained the most cartoonish Southern accent possible.
Dear Lord, save us from the IQ stupid people. They may be smart, but they don't have any sense. Now, you know who they are. They're all over Washington, D.C. They walk around with Ziploc bags of kale that they can eat to give them energy. I don't eat kale. You know why? Because kale tastes to me like I'd rather be fat.
I refuse to believe that accent is real. He sounds like a regional theater actor in Connecticut doing Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. My, my, it's certainly warm today. Was that good? I can do bigger. Although I have to say, I think my favorite example of the GOP blame game came from Fox host Sean Hannity, who seemed utterly mystified as to why Republicans weren't as interested in voting early or by mail as Democrats.
I think Republicans have been unwilling, for whatever reason, reluctant, resistant, to voting early and voting by mail.
Damn it, if only we knew who was responsible. Who in the Republican Party has spent years relentlessly and obsessively harping on mail-in voting as a corrupt way to rig elections? Maybe it was, I don't know, Idaho Senator Mike Crapo?
Don't vote by mail! It's fishier than a tin of sardines! Hi-ho!
It's so funny how they just have to pretend they can't remember a single thing Donald Trump said over the last, like, 6 years. We're at the point where they're gonna start acting like they have no idea who Donald Trump is. He's gonna fade out of all his photos with Hannity like Marty McFly in Back to the Future. Senate Democratic incumbents won a perfect 14-0 in the midterms. That's the best performance for them or a president of any party since 1934. And overall, Democrats have gained one Senate seat and two governor seats. It's the first time since 1934 that a president's party has gained in both in a midterm. Republicans are dancing around Trump and bending over backwards not to pin the blame on him because they're still afraid of him. They all know that Donald Trump doesn't care one iota about the future of the Republican Party. He only cares about the future of Donald Trump. They're terrified that even if they beat him in a primary, he will do everything in his power to burn it all down and make life miserable for whoever the GOP nominee is. If he can't be the next Republican president, he'd be perfectly happy to be the last Republican president. You can hear him bragging about it. I was the last one, the last Republican president there ever was. The only reason Trump is even running again is that he wants immunity from prosecution. He just wants to protect himself. He doesn't actually care about the GOP, and the GOP knows that, which is why they're still afraid of him, even though he's as weak and diminished as he's ever been. Even his own advisors admit he doesn't have the same mojo anymore. At this point, Trump and his gang of MAGA weirdos have about as much charm and charisma as
Ziploc bags of kale.
The January 6th committee, remember all those hearings that aired at even more random times than the World Cup soccer games? Well, not only is the House Select Committee expected to release their final report this month, they're considering criminal referrals for Donald Trump and his associates. These would be largely symbolic because, of course, they would be. Nothing bad ever happens to Donald Trump. But I guess we all knew the committee couldn't prosecute Trump, but it's a bummer to, like, remember that Liz Cheney and her crew are basically just a neighborhood watch group hoping the cops show up after they file a report about a nut in a red hat urinating on their front lawns, you know? How has he not been charged? It's amazing how long this is taking. I mean, he's not the Zodiac killer. He's right there at home in Florida eating pork chops with Nazis. He'd go get him. Because of that, a handful of Republicans are now working to move their party away from Trump, including Senator Mitt Romney, who said, President Trump lost again, and I know a lot of people in our party love the president, former president, but he is, if you will, the kiss of death for somebody who wants to win a general election. The Sharpie is on the walls for Donald Trump. After months of legal shenanigans, pushing and pushing and pushing, the Justice Department today got full access to the classified documents they seized at Mar-a-Lago, which means they're now free to use those top secret files as part of their investigation. Donald is still very upset that he got called out for having dinner with Kanye and his white supremacist friend after a right-wing Jewish commentator embarrassed himself by defending Trump. Orange Julius Caesar wrote, "Thank you, Wayne. You are great, but how quickly Jewish leaders forgot that I was the best by far president for Israel. They should be ashamed of themselves. This lack of loyalty to their greatest friends and allies is why large numbers in Congress and so many others have stopped giving support to Israel." His response to being criticized for having dinner with known anti-Semites is to blame Jewish people for a lack of loyalty. The only thing that can make that statement more anti-Semitic is if he used the Sharpie he wrote it with to draw a little mustache on his lip first. And not only that, he's the most disloyal person on the planet. He throws everyone under the bus. Trump calling Jewish people disloyal is like Nick Cannon telling Mexico to slow down on all the kids. We are still learning more about what went on in the days leading up to the attack on our Capitol on January 6th. And it's even crazier than the crazy we previously thought was so crazy. Turns out the calls were coming from inside the House and the Senate. Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows,
exchanged texts with 34 members of Congress about plans to overturn the 2020 election. That is unbelievable. These members of Congress communicating with Meadows were, and it's not my place to editorialize, stupid, evil traitors who are trying to do crimes against democracy for which they should be punished with decades of jail time.
The list includes all the usual suspects: Ted Cruz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, Louis Go. It's like a gang of Batman's dumbest enemies. But one of the more notable texts that was released, Meadows got a text from South Carolina Representative Ralph Norman. 3 days before Biden took office, Norman texted, "Mark, in seeing what happened so quickly and reading about Dominion lawsuits attempting to stop any meaningful investigation, we're at a point of no return in saving our republic. Our last hope is invoking martial law. Please urge the president to do so." But instead of martial, he spelt it Marshall, like the chain of off-price department stores. And if martial law doesn't work, we'll mobilize the TJ Maxinistas.
Okay, invoking martial law means this congressman was calling for military involvement in a coup. Again, put him in jail. Also, put him through spell check because it's martial law with a T.
Thank God this coup wasn't planned by people who could solve the Wordle. We'd all be in a lot of trouble right now. This goes a long way towards explaining why these lowlifes have been so quiet about all this. It wasn't just Trump. He had dozens of enablers, and a lot of them are still in Congress. We have people who tried to overthrow the government in the government right now. And I continue to be blown away by how dumb they are. Even Scooby-Doo villains know not to write it down.
The GOP performance was so bad that even Donald Trump, a man who craves the spotlight more than he craves food and water, or I guess food and Diet Coke, has essentially been forced into isolation, as the Washington Post reported. Since announcing his 2024 presidential bid 3 weeks ago at Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump has barely left his private South Florida club except to play golf at his course across Lake Worth Lagoon. And you know what? Fine. He's a 76-year-old former business idiot from Queens. That's what he should be doing. Playing golf in Florida and watching Yellowstone on an 80-inch TV with his remotes Velcroed to the coffee table. This is what keeps him preoccupied, just shuttling him back and forth between his golf course and Mar-a-Lago. That's a win for everyone. Hell, let's use taxpayer dollars to build a high-speed rail line that only he can use. Or if a high-speed rail is too expensive, we can just put cannons on each side of the lake to launch him back and forth. Also, I want to emphasize again, Trump's isolation started after he announced he was running for president again. It's one thing to say, "I just lost my re-election bid. I'm going to take some time to myself and then go into seclusion." But it's crazy to do it after announcing you're running for the most powerful office in the world. Probably just lies in bed all day with noise-canceling headphones on, listening to his old speeches.
"Yet I know windmills very much. They're noisy. They kill the birds. You want to see a bird graveyard? Go under a windmill someday."
Melania's standing at the door trying to get him to come out for dinner. "Donald, you have to eat. You have to eat, Donald. When I try and slide the hamburger under the door, the top of the bun comes off." But now that more data is coming in about who voted in the midterms, it turns out Republicans didn't actually have a turnout problem. They had a candidate problem. In state after state, the final turnout data shows that registered Republicans turned out at a higher rate, and in some places a much higher rate, than registered Democrats, including in many of the states where Republicans were dealt some of their most embarrassing losses. Instead, high-profile Republicans like Herschel Walker in Georgia or Blake Masters in Arizona lost because Republican-leaning voters decided to cast ballots for Democrats. Even Republican voters couldn't bring themselves to vote for Republican candidates. And And you know why? They all tried to be Trump, but only Trump can be Trump. Yes, Trump is a monstrous sociopath, but he was able to conceal that reality from some voters by also being a sweaty, bumbling oaf who would ramble about sexy New York yacht parties in the 80s to an audience of Boy Scouts or dance to the Village People when he went on stage. And complained nonstop at rallies about how low water pressure was causing America's toilets not to flush. That same shtick doesn't work for other Republicans or other Democrats or literally any other human being alive. Republicans thought they could keep just doing Trump's routine, but even their own voters rejected it, resulting in yet another repudiation at the ballot box and a historic performance by Democrats. And yet some of the GOP's most prominent politicians are still leaning further in the direction of MAGA extremism after it was rejected by voters. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, appeared at a Republican gala in Manhattan over the weekend and apparently decided that one of the biggest issues facing Americans right now is the availability of sex toys at department stores.
By the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target and CVS nowadays. I don't even know how we got here.
And let's not forget, this person is going to have actual power in the House GOP majority next year. GOP leader Kevin McCarthy has essentially made a pact with Green and other extremists to keep them happy and let them run wild in exchange for their votes. And part of that pact means she'll be allowed to serve on committees again, which she was barred from doing by Democrats after a series of bigoted and inflammatory remarks.
Marjorie Taylor Greene says she wants a seat on the Oversight Committee. Are you okay with that? Would you support that despite her history of inflammatory remarks, denying the 2020 election?
Look, Marjorie Greene, is she's going to get reelected? She's going to have committees to serve on. Marjorie Greene is going to have committees, yes. She's duly elected by her district and has a right to serve.
I'm looking forward to Republicans taking back control in the House. And I'm looking forward to serving on committees.
It's definitely a red flag anytime someone says the words, "I'm looking forward to serving on committees," with that much devious glee. She's got the energy of a PTA president who's going to use her power to blackmail her enemies. That's right, Pam. I'm back on the bake sale committee, and everyone thinks your gluten-free brownies taste like a
butt plug or a dildo.
Somehow, that was not the most bizarre thing Green said at the gala. She also joked that if she and Trump ally Steve Bannon, who was also president at the event, had been in charge of the attempt to overturn the election results on January 6th, they would have won because they would have had weapons.
Then January 6th happens, and next thing you know, I organized the whole thing along with Steve Bannon here. And I want to tell you something, if Steve Bannon and I had organized that, we would have won. Not to mention, it would have been armed. Yeah. See, that's the whole joke, isn't it? They say that whole thing was planned, and I'm like, are you kidding me? A bunch of conservatives? Second Amendment supporters went in the Capitol without guns, and they think that we organized that? I don't think so.
You see, the joke is conservatives are such bloodthirsty psychopaths, if they had actually planned the insurrection on the Capitol, it would have been way more violent.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.